This is your Wendy's wake-up call. Start your day with a better breakfast and get a free drink with any of our morning-making breakfast sandwiches. That's your favorite drink in a Wendy's cup, free. Fresh brewed coffee, free. Diet Coke, free. Vanilla Frosty Chino, that's cold brew plus Frosty Creamer plus free. So don't sleep on this deal. Get any size drink in a Wendy's cup free when you buy any breakfast sandwich. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's. On the card only. Offer valid upon request on lowest price qualifying item. Not valid for third-party delivery.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired a nature show host.
In the native habitat of a suburban driveway, the poor victim of a broken windshield is left assessing his vehicle, utterly helpless.
Well, not true. If he's got GEICO, he can file a claim online, over the phone, or with his handy mobile app.
But like a lone gazelle, he'll suddenly be left to fend for himself, awaiting his terrible fate.
Nope. GEICO will assign him a designated claims team to help him out, too.
So the gazelle gets his car fixed and everything.
Wow. Nature is so cool.
GEICO. Great service without all the drama.
Welcome to the Browns Wire Podcast. This is your host, Josh Keatley. With me again is the Mac Robinson. I was actually trying to convince Mac to be on the show more often, and he shot me down. So
Wow. That's calling me out. Look, it's nothing crazy. I mean, I will say this, you know, Josh, you know how my schedule is. Here's the thing. I don't want to come off like an asshole, okay? I really don't. Like, I'm not some guy who's going to, like, big-time people, like, or anything like that. That's not me. That's not me.
No, but Mac is big-timing me. He's big-timing me.
Wow. Okay.
Son of a bitch.
Throwing me under the bus. Wow.
That son of a bitch.
Wow. Apparently, my big head over here. Good God. All right.
All right. Let's dive in. We got another Victory Monday.
Yeah, man.
I don't know how you feel. I'm a little disappointed. The Browns obviously won 37-34. They're now 5-2. They've just beat the Bengals barely by the skin of their teeth, who are now 1-5-1. I came away disappointed. I'm more disappointed with this squeak by than I was with the Steelers blow up. Okay, I really thought that the Browns were the far superior team on every level. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like they didn't do anything. I feel like the offense was very impressive. The offense looked good, but they came out of the block stumbling. I don't blame Baker Mayfield for that 100%. I thought the play calling was kind of weird too. I mean, how many goddamn end arounds are we going to do? I thought that was kind of weird, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Jarvis Landry just got bruised up, messed up ribs, and then you're gonna hand him the ball off. I thought it was just kind of awkward.
Yeah,
I feel like the whole offense took a while to start up, and the defense, you know, Olivier Vernon was pretty much non-existent. Other than Myles Garrett, the defensive line as a whole was non-existent. We talked about how important it was for Sheldon Richardson and Larry Ogunjobi to show up, and they really didn't. I didn't really see them making a whole lot of action in the game against a very weak Bengals offensive line that was missing three starters. The defensive backfield, again, was pretty pedestrian. Denzel Ward was lights out as expected, but Terrence Mitchell had that, you know, he had his spots where he looked rough, including that dropped interception was right in his hands. You know, Kevin Johnson was getting beat like a drum by Tyler Boyd, which is a tough task, but you know, I don't, that's your job. Sendejo again, they don't look real great. We already talked about how the linebackers are a weakness. The defense looked rough. The offense kicked it up. The second half, woo, but that defense, woo, they're bad.
Yeah.
A different kind of woo.
It's more of an uneasy woo.
Exactly.
But I mean, I will say this. This was one where, you know, obviously in every game, you know, you're going to have pros, you're going to have cons. But, you know, in this one for sure, I felt like it was a tale of two between two halves and two sides of the ball.
Yeah.
You know, the offense, obviously, like you said, I mean, Baker, you don't want to start with the interceptions. You know,
the first pass.
Right. I would love to, you know, enjoy a first drive, you know, not just all of a sudden have it taken away. But at the same time, you know, seeing the way that Baker was able to rebound from that, I was very encouraged because that was a Baker that saw in 2018. You know, that was the one that was slinging the ball around. And again, I want to reiterate this because I'm sure that there's going to be people that are going to say this, but just because Baker all of a sudden turned it on without Odell on the field does not mean that we need to trade Odell. I just want to go ahead and throw that out there as a disclaimer, because I'm sure that people will probably take that out of context. But anyway, I will say this, with the way that Baker was able to perform in that second half, and, you know, even Jarvis and Rashard Higgins talked about it post game. You know, they felt like once they kind of got that first score in that second half, all of a sudden they felt it start to click. And that was the one thing, is that I think that now that you see them kind of get this to click, I want to see how they're able to take this game and translate that into next week. Because out of anything, they showed that during that winning streak where, you know, like you said, it started off with a slightly disappointing margin of victory against the Bengals in week two. And then they were able to kind of snowball that into a four-game winning streak. So I want to see what they're able to take from that. But on the other side of the ball, you're absolutely right. You know, this defense.
Terrible.
Yeah, atrocious. I mean, it was an absolute garbage effort. You know, Myles Garrett was Myles Garrett. Two sacks, a strip sack.
Like, he was great. Him and Denzel Ward were great. Him and Denzel Ward were great, yeah.
And that, I mentioned on the on my podcast as well, but Denzel Ward's tip pass from A.J. Green in the end zone, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. And especially, too, that slide tackle that I saw people kept on bringing up, too. I thought I was the only screen. One to notice it. Yes.
Yeah.
He did phenomenal on that. So he looked fantastic. Yeah. But I will say this, hopefully next week, because, you know, the starters for this week were Ronnie Harrison and Sendejo for the safeties. Now, hopefully, now that you've got Ronnie Harrison kind of rolling, hopefully with Carl Joseph's kind of slowly kind of coming back in, hopefully kind of get away from that rotation with him and Sendejo, and then maybe you can get more snaps for Joseph and have that kind of be a crossover for them. But I mean, I would say
Carl Joseph had his ups and downs too, man. I don't know if I think he's good. I like him, but that's not, you know, we let the Cincinnati Bengals with the rookie quarterback and a rookie wide receiver score and no Joe Mixon score 34 freaking points.
And
you know what I mean? I don't think Carl Joseph's going to come in and cure that.
No, and that's the thing. I'm not saying it's a cure, but I'm saying that it's at least somewhat of a Band-Aid because of the fact that, look, let's be honest, we're one safety down because Delpit's been out for the year. Like, if Delpit's out there, we're having a lot more of a different conversation here.
Hopefully.
You know?
Hopefully he's that good.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, I mean, no. I mean, I would say this, you're not playing guys out of position. Like when it comes to safety. So
if he's as good as advertised, yeah.
Again, yes. But at least, you know, you have that guy that you can play a little bit as that deep safety.
Before you move on, the Grant Delpit thing, we talk about him a lot. You and I have talked about him a lot on this podcast this last week and this week. And, you know, we keep referring to him like he's the answer. And he very well might be. I gave him a first-round grade coming out, top 15 prospect in my book. I was very excited when he landed to the Browns. With that said, we don't know what's going to happen. And the defensive backfield is straight garbage. So it wouldn't be unwise if the Browns looked towards the safety position in the NFL draft again, because you don't know what's going to happen. And there are a couple there. It's bad. The defense is bad and they need help and they need playmakers.
And look, I completely agree. I'm right there with you. I always say this. I don't think that you see as much of a focus early on as they did this year, but I do think that, you know, you could see that be addressed maybe in the mid rounds or possibly again via free agency. You know, Ronnie Harrison has stepped up and he still has a couple years left on his deal. So I think that for him, he's somebody that you can kind of stick with Delpit as well. For right now, again, kind of having that at least solid foundation to kind of build across with the youth there. But I will say that I think that this is a chance for them to kind of add some players in free agency. I know Jared Mueller of the OBR mentioned on Twitter, but, you know, this past offseason, what did Andrew Berry do? He focused on addressing the tight end position, which, I mean, honestly, Harrison Bryant showed that, you know,
phenomenal.
They've addressed it. Yeah, they've addressed it. It's done. Like, between
he's
that and Joku, he's been phenomenal. And even without Hooper out there, but Hooper's still done his job. Like,
yes.
Hooper hasn't had to be that main pass catcher.
Harrison Bryant was great. Now, I can't preach that. I thought Harrison Bryant was a steal when we got him as late as we did. I didn't ever envision him being an all-pro caliber player, but, dude, he looked good. Four receptions, 56 yards, and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know, he was effective as a blocker. He's really stepped up in ways that I didn't really think he could. It's pretty wild. I don't know if you knew this. I did write this down specifically for the pod. That game has the NFL record for most go-ahead touchdowns in the fourth quarter with 5.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait,
Bengals, Browns, Bengals, Browns, Bengals, Browns. 5 times, dude. Isn't that wild?
Say, I was going to say, I thought I had a lot of work to do in that last quarter. but yeah, so that was the thing, man, is that I think that, you know, the fact that Andrew Berry focused and he spent most of his resources allocating to the tight end position and the offensive line, you know, tight end, we thought could use an upgrade, ended up being the strength of the team at this point now.
Yes.
And then you look at the offensive line. It was a weakness last year. Baker looked like a deer in headlights when it came to that offensive line. Did not trust them whatsoever. You know, starting Eric Kush last year and Greg Robinson, who was dealing with Kush on his own. But, you know, with Greg Robinson, now you're flipping that into Jedrick Wills. You've got Jack Conklin on the right side.
Wyatt Teller,
once he comes back. And even, you know, Chris Hubbard for, you know, as much as, you know, I hated him last year. I did not think that he was
not
good.
Good.
Yeah, he's not good. So,
but he provides great depth. He's a good swing player, and he's provided that this year with Teller's absence. Now there's a huge drop off. A huge drop off. You didn't notice so much the Bengals because they're not playing their best defensive lineman for some reason. But everybody noticed it against the Steelers. That's for damn sure.
Right.
I'm not too worried about the offense. You know, and I think that the offense does miss Chubb more than people want to lead on.
Right.
You've seen a whole thing on Twitter. Running backs don't matter. Running backs don't matter, and everybody talking about how. You have there's certain portion of Browns Twitter that's above, or they think they're above the Browns and their need for Chubb, right? Like, oh, we can just replace it. No, I think that if this proves anything, Chubb is really, really good. Chubb is phenomenal. Kareem Hunt is great. Kareem Hunt was the former NFL rushing champion, had the most yards in the NFL a couple years ago. Very good player, and he sniffed 70 yards. Right. And he's very good. His yardage, his stats do not reflect how impactful he was. Right. He was dragging defenders. But Nick Chubb is phenomenal. And this offense does miss that. Now, with that said, I'm not worried about it. Right. I'm not worried about that offense because they've shown week in and week out that they're great. The biggest issue with the offense in my eyes is the injuries because you have Nick Chubb out. OBJ's out for the season.
Right.
And then also the slow starts. I'm really getting sick of the slow starts. And I don't think it's 100% Baker. I think that the play calling's a little wishy-washy at the beginning of the game.
Now, I will also the main point that I was trying to say as well, because I don't want to make it seem like I was trying to spin it somewhere. So my whole point of this, and Jared Mueller talked about this on Twitter as well, but the fact that that's the focus that Andrew Berry took in the offseason and what he was able to do in just one offseason. Give him an offseason with that defense now and have him be able to focus on that defense and build that up. Because a lot of, again, in free agency, it was mainly just one-year guys. You know, it was basically just like, okay, we're just going to Band-Aid this. We're going to come back to this later. We're going to focus on here. We're going to put all of our investments into here. We'll come back to the defense. I want to see what Andrew Berry does in a full offseason with the defense and what he's able to do there. But with what you were saying about the offense, you're absolutely right. Because, look, people forget about how good Nick Chubb was and is, and not only that too, but you also look at the combines for Nick Chubb and then compare that to Kareem Hunt. So, you know, when it comes to Nick Chubb, he ran a 4.5 240, again, the same year that Saquon ran a 4.4. So barely off of that. Comparatively, Kareem Hunt ran a 4.62.
Well, Kareem Hunt didn't test well. That's one of the reasons why he did fall to the third round to the Chiefs. So I don't hold the testing. I know what you're saying. We view Kareem Hunt as this uber athlete, this ultra athlete, and the fact is Nick Chubb basically tests him out and everything.
This is my point with it, is that Kareem Hunt, you know, he is a fantastic football player, fantastic running back.
Great.
I'm not saying that. But Nick Chubb is that with the athleticism to top that. And that's what I think is people are missing. Obviously, Kareem Hunt was a rushing champion for a damn reason.
Yeah,
he's a damn good player. And he's a great pass-catching back out of the backfield as well. But again, Nick Chubb takes that, and then he adds that athleticism to add that extra boost. I thought that was missing yesterday, where Kareem Hunt was able to hit the hole, and he was able to break off a couple tacklers, maybe get 11 yards. I think Nick Chubb is able to hit that hole and not only break off the tackler, but also add on another 10 yards on top of that with the additional burst that he has.
It's hard for me to envision the difference, because I do think it's a very small difference between the two. But I do think in tandem they work. I just feel like the offense is missing something with him out there. Right. And I don't know what the statistical impact of that would be. Now, I would tell you if it was going from Nick Chubb to Dearness Johnson, I would be with you 100%. Every time Dearness Johnson would bust a 10-yard run, I would say, oh, Chubb would take that to the house, because there's this huge difference between those two running backs. But right. Between Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, I don't know what that difference is. I just know that the difference is noticeable. We talked about OBJ being injured. Obviously, he got hurt on the interception, the first play of the game, tore his ACL, out for the season. We talked about how there's a bunch of people on Twitter saying that Baker's going to be better off without OBJ. I'm with you. I disagree. I don't think that they're talking about how there was Baker Mayfield was a different beast when OBJ was out. Does Baker feel a burden to feed the ball to OBJ? That is something that does deserve exploring. With that said, that doesn't mean you get rid of that player. That's stupid. You don't get rid of him because he's such a star that you feel like you want to look at him every other play, right? You just deal with it. You deal with that. That's something Baker has to grow into. And I don't even know if that's the issue. Yeah. I think that Baker just found his groove. Baker, we've seen him have good games. It's not, you know what I mean? Now, he does have the franchise record now for most completions in a row at 20, right? So it was a little bit of an outlier, but we've seen him be I've called him the most accurate quarterback in the NFL for a reason. We've seen it. So I don't necessarily know that. I don't think there's any kind of, I think people are overreacting. I mean, what was it? 2 weeks ago, OBJ ran roughshod all over the Dallas Cowboys and everybody was talking about how great he was.
Yeah.
It's such a emotional diverse fan base, you know?
Yeah. It's very wishy-washy. When it comes to him especially, and I know he's a polarizing figure just because of the name and everything like that, but I don't know if I would liken it to feeling the pressure to force feed, you know, Beckham. But I would say this. I think that, you know, you heard Jarvis and Odell talk about it near the end of last year, where when they were having their quote unquote outbursts and they were freaking out on the sideline, it was because they were basically feeling like, hey, I can make plays. Let me make plays. Let me help you win. I think Baker was recognizing the fact that, hey, these are the best playmakers that I got. If you notice, 2018, a lot of times he was trying to throw the ball over to Jarvis. Jarvis might not have had as big of games. That's why you might have seen a little bit more from Rashard Higgins, where Baker also had that familiarity. But, you know, for Odell, again, you saw him trying to make those big plays, trying to take those deep shots with him. And again, it was the same thing yesterday, was trying to throw that where it's a 50-50 ball for Odell. Again, if you're the quarterback, you're hoping to go ahead and just throw that up there because you feel like Odell is going to win those 9 times out of 10. But at the same time, you know, maybe now with Baker not necessarily having to force, again, I don't mean to say force feed, but I can't really think of any other word right now, because he's your top playmaker. Again, look at what Kyler Murray is doing with DeAndre Hopkins right now. Are we calling it force feeding?
There's a tendency there. And I think it's unfair. If there is any kind, if he's feeling any kind of burden to feed OBJ the ball, that's something that he has to work out within himself, within the locker room. You can't get rid of a guy for that, because newsflash, he's always going to have a stronger relationship with one of his receivers, whether it's Higgins, whether it's Landry. I mean, if you get rid of OBJ, let's say if the Browns do get rid of OBJ. Okay, well, then now this receiving core is lacking an element of speed, right? Because like you said, OBJ is really good going deep. Is he a blazing 40 time? Not necessarily, but he brings that layer to the receiving core that none of them have. Maybe Donovan Peoples-Jones, who we didn't see create a whole lot of separation while at Michigan. So they're probably going to dip back in to the wide receiver well at the draft. And what do you think, this is just going to go away where Baker's going to stop trying to take those opportunities? It's just like, that's something that's got to be worked out. It's got to be meshed together. We're only in week 7. They're winning games. It's an issue. It's an issue. I don't want to act like this team is perfect, but they are 5-2 and Beckham's had great games and Baker's had great games and they've had great games together. If I am a Browns fan, I am more concerned about the fact that Joe Burrow, rookie quarterback, had 400 passing yards and threw for 3 touchdowns. You know, we let the Bengals score 34 points without Joe Mixon. And the only thing people seem to be talking about is the Baker Mayfield OBJ connection. Right. I mean, Olivier Vernon was gone, nowhere to be found. That defensive backfield, we talked about it. They're terrible.
And you know what? I will say this. It goes hand in hand because this was my thought in the middle of the game yesterday. And I know I said it to some of my colleagues up there at the station, 923 The Fan. But, you know, for me, I had mentioned the fact that, you know, looking at the Steelers' defense last week and where they were able to succeed, it was that their defensive backs had a good enough plan and they were able to execute that, covering the receivers for long enough to be able to have their defensive line go ahead and get to the quarterback. The Browns' defensive line was not able to get off their blocks, and the cornerbacks were not able to cover. So it was a bad combination of both where, like you said, the defense, it's terrible. It's bad. There's no way around it. There's been injuries, but it's inexcusable. Olivier Vernon has to step up. He has to show why he's been paid.
The injuries haven't been that damning. The offense has dealt with worse injuries than the defense.
Right.
And the offense looks fine. And not fine, but the offense looks much
it's
better.
It's encouraging.
Yeah, the defense looks like garbage. Delpit, who we haven't seen take an NFL snap yet?
Delpit, you've been dealing with Greedy at the same time, too, but even still, he's not even proven.
I don't really, you know, what are the injuries that are causing them to suck is what I'm missing.
Right. No, I hear it, but this is the one thing that I will say, and I noticed it, especially in the fourth quarter, but basically I had the same level of rage that I did with the Greg Williams defense. And the one game I always go back to is against the Green Bay Packers, where it's Brett Hundley. And again, Brett Hundley, and Josh, you'll remember this because this was our first year with Browns Wire, but it was the 0-16 year. And for whatever reason, Brett Hundley, Greg Williams had Jabril Peppers playing in the Muni lot. And then he had the cornerbacks sitting back another 10 yards. It is third down and two, and you're having your cornerbacks play off 10 yards. How are you not jamming them at the line and hoping to go ahead and at least knock the pass down, at least getting the guys in the same zip code? That was my issue, is that Joe Burrow was getting a lot of dink and dunk passes. They were finding soft spots in the zone. And not only that, Burrow has shown the ability to be mobile. He doesn't do it often, but he's still athletic.
How rushing does, Sean.
Right. And you have to keep that in mind. So why is there no spy sitting on him? Why is there nobody kind of keeping an eye on Burrow? And all of a sudden he has 15, 20 yards of wide open grass sitting in front of him when the defensive ends overcommit. That was my thing, was that, you know, you don't have some of these guys that are sticking back at least, and you're not having any of these guys take away some of those spots in the zone. That was my issue.
I don't know if I would have a spy on Burrow. I mean, he was moving. It felt like the only person bringing pressure was Myles Garrett, and that was an issue.
Yes,
that was the biggest issue. And he would basically move around the pocket until someone got open, whether they're beating Terrence Mitchell or Kevin Johnson or Sadejo, someone was getting open. But we again, the Browns did win 37-34. We move on to this week. They're playing the Las Vegas Raiders in Las Vegas. The Raiders are now 3-3. They lost to the Buccaneers in a brutal 45-20 game. The spread on the game is 3 points. The Browns are actually favored, but we're going to get your take on that in a little bit. This game is interesting to me. I think it's another game where the Browns are clearly the better team. I do think that the Raiders are better than the Bengals, but not by much. I think that the Browns can really take advantage of this. But there are a couple things that we need to watch out for. That score, 45-20, it's a little misleading. The Raiders had it within 3 points in the fourth quarter, and then their pitiful defense let the Buccaneers score 3 straight touchdowns. There's no pass rush on that defense. That defense there's really not a whole lot going on with that defense. I do think that they have some linebackers that can float the ball pretty well. They have that Kwiatkowski, Corey Littleton flows really well. They got a couple guys that can flow really well in the linebacker core, but it's nothing that really scares me. The offense, though, the Raiders' offense has had games where they've looked really good. Henry Ruggs didn't have any targets last week, but Derek Carr's maybe having his best year. He looks absolutely fantastic. He's dishing them. He threw for 284 yards last week and 2 touchdowns. Nelson Aguilar seems to be finding his groove with the Raiders. So I do think that their offense is a little bit of a threat. We let Joe Burrow, who's a rookie, throw for 400. It wouldn't be wouldn't blow my mind if Derek Carr had the same kind of day. But where are you at with this? What are you seeing?
You know, for me, I look at this and I will say this. Henry Ruggs was my number one receiver this year when it came to the rookies. I love Henry.
He takes
Ruggs.
The top off. He takes the top off.
And that is my biggest concern, because especially, you know, Denzel Ward better be on him this week. Because, again, and even then, you know, between him and his speed down the field, again, Nelson Aguilar, you mentioned, all of a sudden, he looks fantastic. I'm sure Philly fans are pissed off with the way the receivers have been this year.
He's looked much better. Yeah, he's looked much better.
And then the one big concern that I have in this game, or I should say two. One, in the passing game, is Darren Waller. Because the Browns notoriously cannot cover the tight end and have never, as long as I have been a Browns fan, have never been able to cover the tight end well. So I'm very concerned when it comes to Darren Waller in this game. Obviously, 6 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown against Tampa Bay. But then the other one that I have a concern about is Josh Jacobs. I know that there was some, I think that there was some injury with him.
He is. Jalen Richard was the leading rusher for the Raiders this last week. So I don't know what the status of Josh Jacobs is currently. I'm thinking that he's probably not going to play, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I was going to say this. If he does play, that's my big concern. Because, again, we talked about it where, you know, without Joe Mixon, you know, that entire offense still looked damn good. I think that if Josh Jacobs is out there, he's going to be able to feast on this defense. I think he's a damn good running back. You know, I kind of dabble with, I understand what you were saying with the running backs don't matter. Cause I know a lot of people would talk about that.
Hey, I didn't say that. Other people.
I know you don't. I'm not throwing
I love
you.
I'm not...
Clip that. but, pause. But anyway, so, you know, for me, the way I look at it is it's a team-by-team basis. You know, the Browns are showing that it can be successful, you know, still having that running attack, but also having a balance with their passing game. So I think that, you know, with Josh Jacobs being there, and now you have those weapons on the outside, you have Henry Ruggs, obviously Aguilar's playing well, you still have Bryan Edwards out there as well. You know,
he's hurt.
Oh,
bro, I don't know if Bryan Edwards is scheduled to come back this week. I know he missed the last game. Their top three receivers are Nelson Aguilar, Hunter Renfro, Henry Ruggs, and obviously, as you said, Darren Waller. That's kind of what we're looking at. But Renfro has been very consistent. Aguilar's that tall. I think Aguilar is basically taking the place of Bryan Edwards, what his role was early in the year. And he's actually done better than what Bryan Edwards was doing.
Well, I will also add this too, and you also can mention this with Jeff Risden, our editor over at Browns Wire. But when I was down at the Senior Bowl with them, Hunter Renfro was down there, and I believe he awarded him with most likely to be your gym coach based on his physique. Because it looks like the most average athletic ability, but somehow, some way.
He is average.
Yeah, he catches everything. I don't know how. By the grace of God, he's able to snag every ball that comes his way. But again, you know, Hunter Renfro, dangerous player. And especially, like you said, Kevin Johnson had some issues when it came to Tyler Boyd. That'd be another,
Tyler Boyd is a straight athlete.
Right.
So, but I think the biggest problem with the Raiders offense is that Derek Carr he's understanding how to distribute to those guys. Those guys may not be great individually, but the sum of their parts is pretty damn impressive when Derek Carr is dishing it out. I think he's having the best year of his career, statistically speaking. I think his QBR has been the 90%. I think it's been in the 90s the last few games. I mean, he's been, I don't want to say he's been playing flawless ball because he's still throwing up a couple picks a game, but he does what he has to do and he knows what to do with it when he needs to do it. The offense hasn't really been the Raiders' issue lately, and I mean, like I said, their linebackers are okay. I think that the key is going to have to be that they're going to have to slow down the Raiders passing game, and they're also going to have to throw on the Raiders. The Raiders are not having they have no success with the pass rush. I mean, Tom Brady's a statue, and they got zero sacks on them. They haven't been lighting up the box score. Max Crosby and Cleveland Farrell have been basically non-existent. Those linebackers are very good. They flow the ball. But I think they're better against the run than they are against the pass. So that's – I'm thinking Baker should be in for another big game here.
Yeah, you know, I tend to agree. And I will say this too, because Baker and Higgins talked about it post game. The fact that that chemistry, it never left, you know, obviously something happened last year. I don't know what it was, but there was something that happened between Higgins and that coaching staff. And obviously this year showed that, at least in this past game, showed that success, showed it in the couple games that he played so far. And now that he's getting that consistent playing time with OBJ out, I think that you're going to start to see a little bit more of the big games out of Rashard Higgins this year. And I think that for him and Baker, I think that chemistry, it's just like that, man. They just pick it up. And I know Higgins, and obviously I'm not as smooth as Higgins, so I can't say it as clean as he did, but basically he said something along the lines of the fact that, you know, him and Baker, you know, it's like wine poured in a cup, smooth.
He said that?
Yeah, said that post.
That is so lame. Oh my god.
Oh, come on, man. You don't like that?
Well, maybe it did sound better coming out of his mouth, Mac. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I don't do it justice. I clearly do not do it justice.
I apologize. I don't know what Higgins' deal is. I don't know if he's a bad practice player. I don't know what the situation is, but he always seems to find himself in the doghouse every now and again. But he is a playmaker. I remember his tape when he was a junior at Colorado State, and the guy he just racks up the stats.
Man. College fantasy football.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
Oh, never forget that.
I got his autograph. I got his autograph on a Colorado State Rams helmet for that very reason. Oh, but yeah, let's jump to the spread. We didn't have to make our picks yet. Yeah. As I said, the Browns are favored by 3 points. They were favored by, for those that remember, they were favored by 3.5 over the Bengals, and obviously they did not cover. I'm gonna take the Browns this week, dude. I haven't put any money on it yet, but that 3 points, the Browns, if they can clean up their defense. They just got to make a slight improvement, finding that pass rush, get some pressure on Derek Carr. Like you said, Josh Jacobs has been hurt. Brian Edwards has been hurt. I think that this game cleans up nicely for the Browns to cover in a big way. I think that this could be another game where they really show people what they're made of.
Yeah, you know what? I tend to agree with you. I will say this. I am so nervous about the fact that I picked the Browns to cover last week and failed that miserably.
We both did.
Right.
They still won, though.
Right. I mean, hey, I'm not mad about the win. Not mad about the win. I'm mad about the cover. That's all. But I mean, hey, that's how betting goes. But out of anything, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go ahead and say that the Browns end up covering this and they're going to end up getting the win. I think that the defense is going to be able to show enough and be able to do enough to slow down that offense. And I think that Baker's going to step up in a big way for the most part. I think that Higgins could have a big day. And, you know, I also think that, you know, Donovan Peoples-Jones might mix in a little bit. Not necessarily be the major threat that everybody wants him to be after making three catches in his first three catches of his career. But I think he's going to make enough plays to, you know, create an impact and, you know, stretch that field a little bit.
See, I think Harrison Bryant is going to be the dude. He looked really good. He's been looking really good. The spotlight's finally on him a little bit more because Austin Hooper injury. Harrison Bryant looks like he's about to break out. I don't know how big. I'm gonna try to dive into a little bit more of his tape. But I mean, as you know, he had big time potential at FAU, Mackey Award winner, All American. You know, if he would have went to a Power 5 school, only God knows how high he would have been drafted. He just couldn't block, and he's been doing that with the Browns. So I think the sky is the limit with him. Again, that might be a little premature because I haven't really dug into his tape as much as I'd like to. But if I had to put my money on which rookie's gonna, you know, bang it out first, it'd be Harrison Bryant.
Yeah, you know, I would tend to agree. Honestly, I think that Bryant. I mean, even in game one, you know, a lot like from the jump, he's really just
they
been
seem
impressive.
To like him.
Yeah.
I seem to like him because they shoved him out there fast. They shoved him out there early.
Right. And that was the thing. I wasn't sure how long it would take for them to kind of get him in the mix. But for him to be in the mix from day one and not only look the part, but really kind of show that that learning curve isn't really that steep for him, at least this year. You know, so I think that he's really impressed me. And I do think that, you know, he's somebody, like you said, he's somebody of the rookies that I think can make a huge impact, especially now that Odell is hurt.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And as a reminder, our friends at Playball Inc. are going to have a lot of these Browns at a private signing in November. Check out their Facebook page at Playball Inc. They opened up a brand new store in Toledo where, again, they're holding the private signing for Kareem Hunt, Harrison Bryant,
all five of the Browns offensive linemen, including Mac Wilson and Donovan Peoples-Jones. So make sure you check all those out. I think the most expensive guy is $30. Jedrick Wills is $30. But you can get a Harrison Bryant autograph for $29, and they go as low as $20 with Mac Wilson and Porter Gustin.
So there you go.
Everybody check out their Facebook page for the more specific pricing and dates.
And Jedrick Wills, great, great guy. Very nice. Very soft-spoken. Totally, like,
dude,
very approachable.
$30 for a first-round picks autograph? That ain't bad, dude. That ain't bad at all, bro. I want to get Porter Gustin. I want him to give me a little inscription called Captain Pex. Give him a little Peck nickname because he's got those Greek. He got that body of a Greek god, bro. But all right, this was the Browns Wire podcast. Mac, did you have anything to add before we bounce out?
No, I mean, latest episode of my podcast, the Hurry Up Podcast, is available on all podcasting platforms. You guys can check it out there. You guys can check it out on Twitter @HurryUpPodcast. Follow me on Twitter as well @MacRobinson95. And yeah, that's about all I got.
All right. Follow me on Twitter @JoshKeely16. Make sure you give us a like, review, and follow. Hit us up with any questions. We'd be more than happy to answer them next week or answer them directly. Our betting episode is going to come out in a couple days. I got Donovan James joining us. Donovan James is a fantasy football, college football extraordinaire. And I am pumped to share my results from last week. So you have to look forward to that. This is the Browns Wire, and we are out.
Others treat your fries as an afterthought. All you're left with are cold, soggy fries. That's why Wendy's new fries are ones you won't forget. Guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we'll replace them. We're talking natural cut, skin-on fries, perfectly seasoned with a hint of sea salt. In fact, they're even preferred almost 2-to-1 over McDonald's. These are fries so hot and crispy, they beg a new question.
What would you like with your fries?
Try them today, only at Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, taste preference based on a national taste test by an independent research company.
作为父母，我哋尽己所能喺呢场疫情中保证孩子们嘅安全。依家我哋有咗确保佢哋更安全嘅最佳工具。我哋所能够做最为重要嘅嘢，就系为孩子接种疫苗嚟预防 COVID-19。疫苗已经被证明咗对满五周岁嘅孩子系安全有效嘅。联系你孩子嘅医生或访问 myton.ca.gov 嚟寻找你附近嘅疫苗。由 The California Department of Public Health 为你提供。